so many of the kids that come to us, Jenny, have been really told they're dumb, they're stupid, they can't learn. And that's not true. The whole point is that we as the professionals are taking different avenues and using those different conferences that we attend and schools that we've been allowed to visit and looking at what they do to meet the needs of those students and bring it down to what our students need here in the South.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Jenny Friedman. I'm an ADHD coach and the host of the show.
Yeah, we need a lot more people talking about ADHD because it's
invisible.
If you had a pair of glasses that can make you see the invisible, what would ADHD look like?
If you're wondering right now where your glasses are, you're probably in the right place.
This show has a mission.
Demystify and destigmatize ADHD once and for all.
Stuff isn't rocket science, people.
Hello and welcome. Today we have on the line with me Cindy Sanchez from Helping Hearts Academy. Welcome, Cindy.
Thank you. Thank you, Jen.
The reason I asked Cindy to join me today was because she has a wonderful school in right outside, right, Lafayette, Louisiana.
Yes.
It is a really amazing program that I heard about through a joint friend of ours who has also been on the show, Agnes Green, my friend, and she was telling me about your school, and I thought, ooh, it would be so wonderful to have you on the podcast so that people, one, could find out about the school, and two, what an inspiration you are in all that you do. So welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me, Jenny.
Yeah, so first, just to start everyone off, I know, well, that was somewhat of an introduction, but if you could let us know a little bit about your background in education and what got you started forming your own school.
Well, I was, first of all, a person who struggled and had undiagnosed ADHD and did not know it. And I worked extensively from the early 80s until now in our public school education system. And I felt comfortable and loved working with the students. However, I just felt that the learning environment was not conducive to what our students that learn differently really needed. And I was fortunate to have had an undergraduate degree in mild moderate. But when I went to take on my master's degree at Nicholls State University in learning disabilities, I really got to realize and see that firsthand there was research that supported best practices for kids who learn differently. And that made a difference.
Right. So I saw on your website, which I'll give out now, helpingheartsacademy.com,
yes,
that you were talking about the different student. That's the term that you use?
Correct. We have some students that are diagnosed, come to us with a formal diagnosis. We have some that come to us not diagnosed. And so we don't, have a typical requirement where you have to have a diagnosis before you enter our academy. But we do some testing, some informal testing to find out how that student learns and what their gaps are and also what their strengths and weaknesses are. So we can put together a program that lends itself toward the student's strengths and their learning styles.
Oh, wow. That's wonderful. So, reading about it, it says, we educate bright and talented students who are struggling with mild cognitive processing, sensory, and social disorders. And we seek to enhance their strengths while directly addressing their individual needs in a warm, supportive, and creative environment, which I got to tell you, there's such a need for. And I don't know in Louisiana how the schools, the public schools are, but I know up here in New York, the public schools treat everyone pretty much the same. I mean, they're obviously if you have an IEP or a 504, you get accommodations. How are you different from that scenario?
Well, first of all, we send our teachers across the United States to different conferences, educational conferences that have to do with CHAD, which is the Chapter for Attention Deficit, or the Dyslexia Association, Learning in the Brain, the Autism Society. We have memberships in all of those so that we can keep up to date. So when we go to our conferences every year, we're looking to stay on the cutting edge of what the research says supports the best practices for these students. Mm. And so when they come to us, we are looking to see not just, in fact, most of the time I don't, as a diagnostician, I do not look at their previous records because I want to have a clean slate in how I test this student. But I'm looking to see how they learn information, how they take in, process, and give information back, but also where their gaps are in their foundation. So that when we first get them in there, to be honest with you, the first couple of weeks, which we've had 2 weeks of school, we also work so hard on building their self-esteem and their confidence. Because if a child doesn't learn to trust you, they're not going to want to take those steps out. And so many of the kids that come to us, Jenny, have been really told they're dumb, they're stupid, they can't learn. And that's not true. The whole point is that we as the professionals in this case are taking different avenues and using those different conferences that we attend and schools that we've been allowed to visit and looking at what they do to meet the needs of those students and bring it down to what our students need here in the South. And so we're looking to build a very integrated model. Gotten a lot of information from the Kennedy Krieger at Vanderbilt because they not only have the school, but they also have all the services that these kids, and it's all given to them in one place at little or no cost. So the whole point of Helping Hearts is not just to be a school. It is to be an end-all or a be-all for anyone that would need information on how to learn more about learning disabilities or how to work with a student or how to get access to more resources that they would need, you know, to go in any direction they needed to go to find out more so that they have a way to get what they need.
Yeah, so you work with kids, like, for example, so you work with children who have somewhere on the autism spectrum.
Correct. We have those who have developmental delays all the way to those kids who are very, very bright, which are the Asperger syndrome students.
Right.
But they lack in social skills. So we actually have curriculum and social skills that help them to build that repertoire of skills that they need to practice. And we do things, you know, individually, but we also do them in a small group. And then we also get the students, the older students, to teach the younger or vice versa so that they can learn mastery. And we don't move up until we get that mastery done. And so when our kids get warmed up, and we're doing assessment now, and we're going to find out exactly how they learn and where their gaps are so that we can go back and fill in and give them a solid foundation in those gaps or skills that they're missing. And then from there, we will start to build, and then we'll teach them the way they learn. And if they don't hit that 80% mark, then it's not the child's responsibility, but it's our responsibility as the teacher to come back and do it a different way so that we can help that child to reach mastery before they move on to the next level. So most of our curriculums are very sequential and structured and show mastery at each, you know, technical point along the way because these kids need that. We also employ a lot of the arts, and the arts is becoming more and more of a bigger package because it's been shown to have worked so extensively with all kids on the disability spectrum, from those who are very severe to those who are very weak. The arts just gives them another way to show mastery. So we just got a wonderful teacher on board who was in charge of Talented and Gifted in the Arts program in the parish, and he is doing a phenomenal job of helping these kids to have other means by which to learn and master concepts, you know, that have to do with different subjects in different ways besides just basic paper and pencil tasks.
Right. So how's that play? Like, what's that look like if you're the child who a traditional reading the book doesn't do it for you?
Well, there's many different ways that we can do that. First of all, we use a curriculum called language. It is called language, and it starts with every unit starts with phonemic awareness. So you have to build that sound letter relationship. And then when they get to reading with us, they can use the computer. They can use a read aloud or they can use it on, get it on tape. So they have, and it highlights it as the student reads it. So we're not only building their, starting with them at their instructional level, but we're also reading to them orally where they're also able to follow with it and see it highlighted either on their computer screen or on their little laptop so that they can understand that these, you know, these words, you know, words put together make a sentence and sentences put together make a paragraph, and that a story, a narrative story can have a beginning, a middle, and an end. And that if it is, if it's not narrative and it's expository, then we have to show them how to attack vocabulary from a different angle. But there are so many different ways that they can listen to and understand the vocabulary. And then in their social studies and science, we do a lot of hands-on experiments where the kids get to go and work through the scientific method, and they get to question, and then they get to interact between each other. Then they get to actually do the experiment and find out if their hypothesis is true or false. And, you know, they also do a lot of projects that have to represent a certain concept that they're working on, like the water cycle, you know, and things like that. They do experiments that basically back all those concepts up that they are trying to learn, and because it's not just with paper and pencil. These kids struggle with that, especially those students who would be dyslexic. So you have to provide different means of them achieving mastery, and projects and special projects that they do, field trips. They really love to get out into, like, different museums that we have around the city and outlying cities and, you know, be able to really, really get involved in the projects that are taking place. They do a science fair. They do a history project that's called You Are There, where they get to get put in time. So it's the medium gives them so much more exposure, and now that we're in the digital age, we can do so much more of that. And the kids understand it almost better than we do.
I was going to say, you make it sound so exciting. I'm like,
it is
your
fun.
Passion is really showing through. It's like,
my total thrill. I'm 60 years old now. I've been an educator for almost since 1980. And so we're now in 2015, and I tell people, my high is seeing a kid come into class, and we give them the information and the way they learn best, and then they're able to give it back to me, and then the light bulb goes off, and you see a totally different kid emerge. It's like they just bud and blossom, and they come forth. And it's like this little kid who thought he was not able to learn all of a sudden just starts to blossom and becomes this happy little good-lucky kid and is so excited about learning it all over again. And to me, learning should be a lifelong venture, you know, and that's what I tell my kids. I learn something from you every day. And so I know you can learn something from me, but you can also learn something from each other. And sometimes it's what not to do. We think of it as, Cindy, I made a mistake. And I'm like, no, you didn't.
That
doesn't work for you. And I said, you know what? Mistakes are good. And so they come in with a different mindset. And all of a sudden, when they start to have a difficulty or just kind of hitting a wall, you'll see them kind of get, you know, they want to shy off and back up and close down. And then all of a sudden, when you show it to them another way, and all of a sudden they're able to give you that information back, then all of a sudden you see a whole different kid coming out and emerging, and they're excited about learning, and they're wanting to stay at school. They're not wanting to leave, or they're wanting to get there early in the morning. They're bugging the parents. And to me, that's the thrill of working with all these kids, is seeing how talented they are. Some of them are so gifted with their hands. They're very hands-on people. And I believe that it takes all kinds to make the world go round. And so these kids become a wonderful artist and architectures. And they, you know, they're the ones that fix our cars and our diesel engines and put these beautiful floors in my house. And, you know, they build just wonderful things and have such creativity and talent that I just don't want to see that wasted. And I think it's a shame, and it's a reflection on our society when we're not able to help these kids before they get out of high school transition into something that they're very talented at doing. And then it's not a job anymore. It becomes, you know, their lifelong love and their career.
Mm-hmm. And you're really nurturing them, not just for teaching to test. You're teaching them how to develop, you know, their lives.
Right. And, you know, I think it's a whole paradigm shift that we need to have in education, of that you know, I was someone who struggled. So when I came back around this time, I feel like my, you know, my gift to share will be that they don't have to keep going the way of the, you know, the regular system, that there is an alternative. And I feel like giving them this is like giving them hope in a bottle,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it will change not just the life of those children, but also hopefully their families to have a better and a richer life.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I know up here in my community, there's been talk of taking children who learn different and not integrating them into the classroom, putting them in, you know, just like a conclave, like together, and feeling like that would be better for them, but also less disruptive in the class so they can keep doing the traditional model. And it's one of those really touchy subjects because people just get really, really passionate one way or the other.
Right.
They don't know what's best. And it sounds like you really are resourcing the whole United States for best practices. You're not just making
yes,
this up by yourself.
No, we were fortunate that we had professors at Nicholls State that really encouraged us to get involved in some of these professional organizations and to find our niche. And I just realized, wow, what a gift that you can come back around and be able to go visit these different conferences and see what they're doing, and then be able to go visit the schools where it's happening. And then that's when it finally dawned on me, wow, we don't need to reinvent the wheel here down south. We just need to bring what our students need down here. And every year that changes, you know? And and that's a good thing because our student population evolves. But the other side of that coin was if the kids didn't get what they needed, so many of them ended up in very not good places, I guess you could say. They ended up with, you know, on drugs, on the streets, in our prison system. And it, then they couldn't hardly be rehabilitated. And what a shame that we as a society would waste the talents of an individual and their abilities that way, because we don't know how to tap into that.
Right.
I think that our children are our resources. That is our next, you know, that is our next generation. And it's what, that's who we are. And so how can we, it wasn't an option for me. I could not see myself going back the other way because I felt like that would be like giving up on them.
Right.
And that's, to me, it's like, you know, when I did have to advocate for my grandson who had multiple disabilities, I told many of the teachers in the student building level committee, I said, you know, you get to walk away from this at a certain time of the day. But I said, for us, you know, that doesn't happen, and failure is not an option. And so I was determined to find something that would work for our students and our teachers. And being in a place where I am further down south like that, it hasn't quite come to its time, but I think it is coming. And I quickly believe that a lot of things need to change, you know, Jen, because in our local newspaper, for every child that doesn't enter the public school system, that system loses $8,000 a child. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could take that taxpayer's money, which is that parent, and take that money and use it toward that child's education and help them out? And
absolutely,
that would be more than enough to cover the tuition, because our tuition is not even that expensive.
Well, that's, you know, that's another question I wanted to ask was, if I was interested, if I'm living in the area and interested in having my child attend your school, what's the process? What would I have to do?
Well, many people go, where are you? Where have you been? I said, well, we don't really advertise, but we do have a webpage. We do have a Facebook page. But, you know, if they did come and say we are interested, we direct them to our website, and they would be able to download a packet. We'd ask them to go through that packet and then, you know, write down any questions they might have. And the whole thing that we're looking for is, do you feel as a parent this would meet the needs of your child? And if the answer is close to a yes, we invite them out to a night or a day to come and visit the school with their child. And they can either come the first time, since some of the parents come the first time, and then if they like it, then they come back with the child. And we let them work on that, you know, at their leisure. And then if it has been decided that we can meet their needs and that that child is eligible to be enrolled, then there is an enrollment fee that it's like a registration fee, and it does cover all of their books, all of their testing that they do at the beginning, middle, and end of the school year, and anything else they may need. So that way it makes it cheaper on the parent. They don't have to go find everything or have a list. Hmm. And then the particular tuition is based on a sliding scale of that family's income.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. So, and some parents need to do a 10-month, some need to do a 12-month. And some parents have to go out and get extra sponsors. You know, we did have a lot more sponsors, you know, when the ulcer was a little bit busier, and it has slacked off a little bit. But parents will dig deep when it comes to their children. Try as hard as we can to work with that student and their parents when it comes to the financial part.
Right. Okay. So, again, it's helpingheartsacademy.com. And I wanted to ask you, just sort of personally, because the podcast being See an ADHD, and you were diagnosed with ADHD, and you
yes,
started
I was.
This. Yeah. When were you diagnosed?
I did. That's the funniest thing, because I was in graduate school, and I had access because I was taking 6 hours a semester to the psych department, and that's, I was 40 years old before I was diagnosed with ADHD.
That is such an inspiration. Not only, I mean, it's an inspiration what you do anyway, but can you tell us about any of the challenges of setting up and designing the school that you've had that you attribute to your ADHD?
I feel like it gives me an inside view of sometimes how these children are thinking. And so whenever they are having some type of difficulty, then I'm not quick to say, well, you know, to make a comment or a remark. It's like I know to back up. For instance, so many times these kids have been told, well, you're not paying attention, you're lazy. And sometimes it's just they have a feeling of being overwhelmed. And sometimes because too many things are going on at one time. And so I'll say to them, if they're reacting in a physical manner, I'll say, use your words. Tell Miss Cindy. And I'll tell them what I felt like on the inside sometimes when too many people were talking to me. And so whenever I start off every class year and I have new students, I'll always say to them, I have ADHD. And I'll explain to them what it means and how it looks, it might look to them. And one of the things that I'll say is, sometimes you guys are all talking at the same time. And I said, it's really important if you want Miss Cindy to hear what you're saying, please raise your hand and talk one at a time so that we can hear and we can acknowledge what you've said. And then we can respond to that. Because if they're all talking at one time, and this is the way I liken it to, it's like a giant wave that goes over your head and you feel like you're drowning because you can't hear anything but a bunch of roaring noise in your ear and you can't hear anything that anyone's saying to you. Overwhelmingness, you know, and that happens to me. And thank God for a coach that has taught me how to hit the pause button. So, you know, I tell them we have sensory tools in the classroom, Miss Jenny, and they know that they can go and get it if they need it. They know that we do brain gym in the morning, and if they're more comfortable sitting on one of those, you know, a ball or having a sensory toy, they know that they're allowed to have that. And 9 times out of 10, you might think, well, the kids take advantage of that. Actually, they don't. They will always go to the thing that they need to be able to do what they need to do because they really do want to be smart, and they really do want to learn.
Right.
So it's not a guessing game.
Right. Right.
You know, and they're allowed to be who they are. And, you know, and I'll talk about my experience just so that they can feel comfortable with sometimes things that happen to them. And they'll say, Miss Cindy, I don't know what's happening. I feel like this or I feel like that. And so we have a decompression room, which has lots of mats in it. We also have a room that has a bob in it, which is, it's like a weight. It has water at the bottom and it looks like a person at the top. And if they're getting frustrated with a certain subject matter, we have a little one and a big one, and we have gloves. We have soft and hard gloves. And I'll say, okay, that thing is what you're struggling with. Now I want you to beat it up. And boy, they'll just put on the gloves and just beat it up until they have no more energy left. Then they'll lay out on the mat, and they'll come back and say, oh, Miss Cindy, I feel so much better. And so what we've actually trying to help them to do is, you know, teach them, it's okay. You're going to feel frustrated sometimes. You're going to feel angry. But there's a positive way to direct that for your energy so that when you come back around to learn something, you know, another time, then guess what? You'll feel so much better.
Oh, yeah. That's so great.
I love it. And then we have this giant aquarium with just tons of fish. Some of them will go and just beat up on Bob. And after they beat up on Bob, we're watching from a distance. They'll go sit in front of the tank. And then we have these little portable desks. And they sit at their desk. And they're watching this one little fish. And they're doing their work ever so quietly. And they're so quiet, you don't even know they're there.
Wow. Oh, yeah, I want to come
it.
And visit.
Yes. Well, you know what? You can. Anytime you'd like to. It's really, you know, it's really meant to be a very calm and neutral, you know, and loving environment. And I believe the kids have to have that first before they can, you know, learn and want to excel. Because
right.
You have to remember what they come from, you know. And that is no small thing to me because I've been through it myself. You know, I can remember as when I was 15 years old, going, having to repeat a class and what the teacher said to me. And I was 15 and now I'm 60. So think about how much our words affect these kids in a negative manner. So, but then the other side of that is, wow, I can come back this time and make an impact for the good.
Sounds like you're doing nothing but good. And I'm curious because you said you get sponsors. What does that mean exactly?
Well, we have sponsors. For instance, our accountant called us late one night and felt like he really needed to make a contribution. And monetarily, he couldn't really do that, but he said, I'm offering my services to you as a lifetime member, as your accountant. And I thought, this is awesome. I could never repay you for what you do, you know? And so, I mean, you know, things like that. It's not always in monetary, a monetary manner where they come in and give money to help pay for the kids or defray their tuition. Sometimes we have one parent who brings tons of school supplies for all the kids, so we don't even have to ask for those things.
The sponsorship, is like if you want to donate time or a service to help
you
guys out.
And so we have people, all kinds of people who do different things for us. Also, we have some people we have one father who comes and regularly works every week on our computers and keeps them up to snuff, you know, for us. Because if we had to hire a technical person, then that would be very costly.
Right. And that just eats up into, instead, you guys can still do the programs and discover new and best programs to offer your students, and it just keeps going back into the school.
Right. We've spent the majority of our money, and that's why people say, where have you been? Going across the country to different conferences and visiting schools. And so we felt like the time would come, and now our building is being erected in Maurice, Louisiana, which is a little suburb about 2 minutes further away from where we are now. And we have the school going up and the gym. So, you know, this is going to be, you know, maybe the next leg of the journey where we'll get to build our school a little bit bigger and be able to welcome a few more students, you know, hopefully quite a bit more. And then, but grow it into a place where it's not just about the students and their needs, but we also start to attract some of the professionals that can give our students a more well-rounded education. And that will lift the burden off of our parents. A lot.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's
yeah.
two things that our parents tell us all the time, and it's time and it's money. And so we don't want that to be an obstacle eventually. We want to have those services there, and we want it to be in an integrated fashion so that that child can get everything they need in one place at little or no cost to the parents, and that burden will somehow be lifted, and that the community will see that this is a great way to back up our families.
Oh, yeah. See how awesome you are?
Well,
it's really
just, you know,
great.
It's born out of a real burden that I had. And I love the idea that we can be, you know, have those small groups and be able to interact with our parents as well as our students on that manner. Because I felt like where I was before, I was just so unhappy with what I saw, where I saw our kids going. And I thought, no, this can't, I can't keep doing this. This is not positive. This is not going in a good direction. But you know, when you get to see it out there and you get to see it in action, you realize, wow, it's been here, it's available, and we can access that. And the schools are just so willing. Everyone is just so willing to share, you know, the growth, how they were able to do fundraising and how they were able to deal getting with curriculum and all their little baby steps they took along the way to get where they need to get. You know, but each one is a unique entity that grew to fit the needs of the students they served. And let's face it, it's still a business that is a, you know, supply and demand.
Well, that's what's really neat is that, like you said, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. What you're doing is just going out and taking the best of what other people have done and applying it to your students and their families.
Yes, and for every person that, and for every student, that's different. And you know what?
Yeah.
That's okay. That's okay. And to help these kids feel like they weren't, you know, like they've gotten dropped off on a planet they don't understand, to make them feel comfortable with who they are and how they learn, and that there are multiplicity of ways to learn and grow, and then things that later on they can do out in the community that makes them productive citizens that get back to their city or their state or whatever, and not just feel like they're so incapacitated or they're, you know, ill-equipped for being able to do anything productive.
I see that a lot with my clients. A lot of the people that I have as clients that really struggle in finding work, finding meaningful work, finding a way of moving in the world where they are tapped into their strengths because they are maybe, you know, a little different.
Right.
Some of the things
and I
that
feel like that's
it stops them. And it's, you know, that's
right.
When the coaching comes in to try to help them look at alternatives and figure out for themselves how best they operate individually. And it sounds like you're getting this when they're young, which is really great. How important.
So when they get into ninth grade at our school, they take the IDEAS test, which is a an inventory that shows them what their strengths are and what that lends them to as far as vocations. And then so during their 10th, 11th, and 12th year grades, they're doing what we call a work-study program. And it's kind of like an old apprenticeship if you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing their schoolwork to get their Carnegie units. But they're also working toward being able to try different types of job positions and seeing if that's a fit for them before they finish high school. So they have
See, how helpful is that? Exactly. Instead of starting that all after high school from the beginning.
And so many kids can't get quite going or don't know which way to go, and they really just get stuck. It's turned out to be a very symbiotic program where there are so many people out there who need certain kind of people to teach a trade to that they don't want to see die. And the kids really loved the interactive learning because that's the way they take on information, not necessarily by lecture and paper and paper. You know, it's that non-traditional way of learning. But think about it. How do we get these beautiful carpenters that build our beautiful houses and, you know, work on our cars and, you know, electricians and plumbers and bricklayers and all these people. And there's no shame in that. In fact, some of these people actually make more money an hour than...
Oh, yeah. I know.
But the truth is
America needs these people to do all of these jobs. These are what communities are built of.
Yes.
You know, you can't have a community without a plumber.
Yes. Exactly. I needed, you know, someone to come my air conditioner last week because it gets very hot here in Louisiana.
Oh, yeah.
And
you need,
you know,
people to do hair because we can't walk around with big gorilla heads.
Exactly. Bedhead girls, you know, and I'm like, no, we need all these people. And, you know, I tell people so many times about just a few of those success stories. And one of them was my daughter, who was another person who struggled in school a lot. And she finally got invited to go visit Blue Cliff, and she got involved with massage therapy. And she absolutely loves what she does and makes more money than I do.
Isn't that's great.
Yeah, but the point is she enjoys and loves what she does.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that makes all the world a difference. It really does. It makes a big difference. And so I feel like, why not? You know, we have nothing to lose.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know,
well, Cindy Sanchez, you are amazing and awesome. And I am hoping to get more people to call your school.
To show them around.
Yeah, I'm going to put in the show notes.
And get in there.
Yeah, I'm going to put in the show notes your address. I know it's in Youngsville, Louisiana, south side of Lafayette, but I'm also going to put down your phone number, your web address, and what is your email if people want to contact you directly?
Oh, it's helping. It's helping, H-E-L-P-I-N-G, heart, H-E-A-R-T-S, at msn.com. So it's helpinghearts at msn.com. And we're hoping to break ground and finish with the last of our building come December or January if the rain doesn't stop us down, slow us down a little, you know. So, but, you know, it'll be finished when it's ready. So we'll take that.
Oh, so you're providing a service of a resource like to even tell them about other resources, which is just it makes it so valuable.
We invite our parents to be involved in our field trips, and the second we go by a 6 week period, so every other 6 weeks, the second 6 weeks, the fourth, and then the sixth, the students actually start showing the parents how they learn, and they teach the parents.
I love that.
Yes, because I know that when I'm gone, that parent may still be working with that child, but it helps them to have ownership, and they're so proud. They're so proud of themselves.
I know.
Because they get to share with their parents, hey, this is how I learned this, you know, and the parents are so happy. So many parents walk away crying. We have a graduation this year, and it's always a real rough time because we get so attached to these children. And they become like our babies, you know. And so it's hard to say goodbye, but they always come back. So it makes it, you know, it makes it fun.
Oh, what a wonderful thing you do. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on and telling us about it. Like I said, I'm going to put everything in the show notes and send you a link. But I thank you again. And we will have to have you back after you open your new building and give us an update.
Yes. I'll be glad to talk to you and even share some pictures and, you know, email you some things and let you know what that's all about because we're excited too.
Absolutely. All right. Well, bye, Cindy. Talk to you later.
Thank you, Jenny. Bye-bye.